الله سبحانه وتعالى how he loves his creation and the reality is that we can determine this really it's difficult for us to determine this for a person to understand that how much Allah loves his servant so much. And this love of Allah Ta'ala with his servant, with his slave, is what Allah wants. That my servants, my slaves, they understand my love. And thinking about this, you can only understand this and determine this when it will be the hereafter. And people will be being thrown into Jahannam, into hell. And Jahannam is a reality. It is a truth. It is a fact. And it is very close to a human being in reality. At that time, when people will be pulled by chains and into Jahannam, and it will be very severe time, and people will be thrown into the fire of hell, women folk, men folk, they'll be screaming, shouting out for help. At that time, that servant, that slave, who was stood on the brink of going into Jannah paradise, and when he sees this hal, and he'll say, Rabb, really, my Lord, your love, I didn't understand the extent of your love for me, that today I am seeing the reality of your love. It is stated that this is Allah's love indeed, that today I am stood on the banks of Jannah, paradise, and it's all due to your love, O my Lord. It's due to your love. Otherwise, I today also would be being pulled by chains in a bad state, severely and thrown into the fire of hell. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his love, his blessing, his grace, his affection. This is what we see, that sometimes in the morning time Allah is saying, come close to me, I have love for you, I love you my creation. And the servant at that time is slept, he's negligent, lazy, he doesn't know. But Allah Ta'ala's love is calling out that this servant of mine, he's sleeping, that he could be a fuel or a stone of Jahannam. How will Allah want this to happen? And he won't be able to bear that. So Allah's rahmah, it comes down to the lowest heavens and it announces, there's no other reason. That when you love somebody, if you love somebody, then you are desperate for that person, isn't it? If you love that person. Yes, otherwise why would Allah Ta'ala in the night time come to the lowest heaven and call out? Why? Why does Allah such sinful people? Allah is calling out, save yourself, that very soon you are going to come back to me and you will have a severe hasab accounts in the hereafter, reckoning. Nobody will be able to save you. So this is where Allah Ta'ala calls out to the human being, that save yourself from that fire. And we are just running blindly into this world, and we have sealed our ears to the call of Allah, and we don't focus on Allah, we don't think about what Allah is saying, we never think. But Allah is Kareem. Despite we have so many sins and disobedience to our name, Allah calls out to us and he keeps on reminding us and he beckons and he calls, and every day he does this hisab. Every day Allah does this. As soon as it's the morning time, look at that. Yeah, that look, that the evening has come now. And so soon the morning will come. Every morning Allah Ta'ala does this action. Every morning, how fortunate are those people who wake up on this call, they ask Allah for forgiveness. And Allah says, "Bil sahar," they are very valuable people. They wake up in the morning, early morning, and do istighfar and ask Allah for forgiveness. This is my love, Allah says, and they are answering my call of love. How great this is. That's why tahajjud salah, you know, has extreme greatness and lots of virtues. It's not for the salah, namaz. Even if you just get up at that time, our Hazrat Sahib said a unique sim, and even if you just wake up at that time and you don't even get off your mattress and you don't do wudu, just the fact that you wake up and you're still in your bed, and at that time, at least if you get up and you're in that warm bed and you've got your quilt and you've got it warm, and just by getting up, Allah Ta'ala wakes you up to save you from Jahannam. Yes, unknowingly a person, when he tosses and turns, when sometimes he looks at the clock, then he sees that it's tahajjud time right now, subhanAllah. And he's tossing and turning, or sometimes maybe he has to go to relieve himself, or he gets a sneeze, or, you know, there's some other situation. What is this? This is Allah's, if it's not Allah's rahmah, then what else is it? If Allah Ta'ala doesn't love the slave and servant, if he loves his slave and servant, he's showing us that these examples, Allah remind us that you weren't careful of this. I gave you so many chances. At that time, didn't want to ask you that how many sins you've done, how many times have you done zina, how many times have you done fraud. I wasn't going to ask you. All I was going to say was, subhanAllah, Allah is saying, is there anyone who's doing tawbah to me and I can forgive him? In other words, at that time, this bihisab, Allah leaves you without any accounts, any questions. You know, like sometimes, like when you apply for the visa, they say, okay, there is open field now. Whoever wants to come and apply, their visa will be granted. People take advantage. Yes, there's some people sat there for years. Oh, the announcements made, visas, free entry. Someone sat for 15 years, so 10 years, waiting, that I will go to the Home Office. When the Home Office announces, then I'll go and I'll apply my visa. So that's the Home Office announcement. This is Allah's announcement we're talking about. Think about it. Allah is calling out to his slave, servant, come. So this is the reason that the value of the tahajjud in reality is not related to the salah. Namaz, the physical action of salah at that time is being grateful to Allah, you've taken me out of my bed, and you've given me the ability to do prostration. Otherwise, he can even get the success while he's on his bed. If you sit on the bed, on the mattress, my Hazrat Sahib said, if you can't get up, start from the first step then. That you're sneezing, tossing and turning, just sit there for a while and close your eyes, and then just 10 times, subhanAllah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa la ilaha illallah, just read that. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa la akbar. Just recite this kalima, then recite the Durood Sharif on top of that. After reciting that, and say, Allah forgive me, Allah forgive me, Allah forgive me. Then the call will come, I have forgiven you. The response will come, I have forgiven you. Subhanallah. Go to sleep. Tahajjud, you will be included amongst the tahajjud people. Is this hard then, to do tahajjud? It's not, you're lying down in the bed, Allah is waking you up. Yes, you have to wake up, you have to go and urinate. Sometimes you have to toss and turn. So when you're tossing and turning, and there are du'as for that, very nice du'a, that when you are turning in the bed, then wear a watch when you're sleeping. Yes, or put a clock in front of you. Just a small, open your eyes and see what time is it on the clock, on my watch. And then look at the clock, the watch, then have a bit of courage and just get up. Just get up. Even if you can't get up, then just whilst you're lying down, read this kalima 10 times, lying down, read the Durood Sharif and say, Allah, forgive me. Say, Allah, forgive me. Why? Because at that time, the ibadah is the greatest ibadah is what? Is to ask Allah for forgiveness. Whatever you're calling out for, what are you calling out for to Allah? Asking Allah for forgiveness. Nothing else, is it, Allah said? Has Allah said anything else? So the action that Allah gives to you at that time, you should do the action at that time, and then you are successful. Yeah, whenever Allah has given a schedule, a program, if you do the action according to that schedule program, then you've attained success at that time. You've got what you wanted. You don't understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So for this reason, you should be careful that, you know, Allah, what's the order that Allah Ta'ala has given me to do? Think about that and then do that action. Do the action at that time. Not every moment do you do whatever you feel. Allah's put separate times for separate actions. That at this time send durood on my Nabi, at this time do this action, at this time do this action, at this time do. Allah has distributed the hours and the program. Allah has also said that at this time have rest. As Allah said, not said it? In the afternoon, Allah says, go in the afternoon, sleep a little bit. Yes, at that time we don't listen to Allah's, what's the point of sleeping now? Let me earn another 4 pounds of pesos and I'll sleep in the night. What happens? That if he slept at that time, subhanAllah, then rahmah would come to him, mercy, and there'll be barakah blessing in his earnings. There'll be barakah blessings in his work. Sometimes I've seen people that they're very busy, they're working bank or they're working somewhere, they're pious people. Then they get up suddenly and they've had a sandwich, and then suddenly they'll get up, they're working in an office or something, they go to the side and they just close their eyes a little bit, they make a niyyah for Kailula, afternoon siesta, and then they just sleep for a little bit. 5 minutes, okay, alhamdulillah, then they come back. The sleep has been fulfilled, alhamdulillah. And the Kailula, the afternoon nap, siesta, they get the thawab of the sunnah, the reward of the sunnah. I was traveling once, and maybe I've told you this event before, but this is a sunnah event, so it's enjoyment sharing it again. The more I say it, mashallah, sometimes people say that, you know, when they give you tea, how many sugars in the tea? How many sugars in the tea should we put? Isn't it? According to the tea, he says that the amount of enjoyment is 2 or 3. So there was one sahib, he said, that do it like this, that just put the sugar in the pot and put the tea in there. Because he had so much sugar. He said, just pour the tea onto the sugar. So the sunnah, there's no greater taste than that when we're talking about the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, sunnah, we're listening. That's enjoyment. So this fakir, I was traveling to Umrah, and I was sat in the aeroplane to depart, to go, and just a very simple journey. There's one bag, and I used to just put all my things in there, a rumal, a handkerchief, one ihram, etc. The libas was my ihram, obviously, I had it on, so I took my kameez off, and I had the dhoti underneath, just put the sheet wrapped around me, that became the ihram, alhamdulillah. Easy. Not just that, you have to have the towel, ihram, air conditioning, etc. No, just have the sheet on, isn't it? So you just wrap the sheet around. That's it. So all you have to do is take the kameez off, take the imam off, make the niyyah for ihram, and do the umrah. That's it. Yeah, you're ready for umrah. That's it. And your bag, put the kameez into the bag, alhamdulillah. Simple journey. Just suddenly you've got the preparation for umrah. Come back. And wherever you go, get washed, purify yourself, put your kameez on and wrap your sheet around. You're fine. You're fresh. Ihram has come off. You're out of the state of ihram. So how easy it is. Very simple, isn't it? So I learned this from Hazrat Sahib. Yes, so Hazrat Sahib used to do Umrah like this. I learned this from him. So I was sat in the aeroplane. I was thinking, who will come? I don't know which person is going to come and sit next to me. And may Allah give me such a person who's according to my taste. We have some good discussion, a good journey, spiritual journey, a travel journey of love. That if I bump into someone who's got a face that will start crying, they won't be good. It'd be hard for me, isn't it? So we just, a person came slowly. Arab, pure. And full beard, alhamdulillah, full sunnah appearance. And he came slowly. Then he stopped next to my seat. Then he looked, looked at his boarding pass ticket. And he sat next to me. So then I said, alhamdulillah, Allah has heard my dua for the travel companion. A good person has come. Ooh, but it could be a bit dangerous. Because I don't know what the guy is, what he's going to talk about, what's he going to say to me. So anyway, when I looked at his appearance, etc., then there was a sudden injection of emotional current inside me. I said, this man, I'll start talking to him. He's an Arab, but he's so observant. I've never seen an Arab like this, very observant on the sunnah. And totally, completely, top to toe, he's, mashallah, in the form, the image of the sunnah. And mashallah, he had a good image of the sunnah on him. So I said, assalamu alaikum to him, and then I said, are you going to Umrah? And he said, no, I'm just on a journey, I'm going back. I said, oh, where are you coming from? And he said, I'm coming from there. I said, where do you live? He said, I live in Medina al-Munawwara. Subhanallah. I said, okay, mashallah, subhanallah. Then, I was a bit more pleased. Sunnah libas in Medina. I said, this is Noor ala Noor, this situation. I said, alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. I said, in my heart, a thought came that definitely such a person who's fully observant and practicing the sunnah, man ahabba sunnati fa man ahabbani. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever loves my sunnah, then I enable him to do my ziyarah. He sees me, that person. Yes, he looks pure, and he's from Medina as well, this individual. So, and there, apart from whoever the Prophet loves, only those people can wear this libas there. So I straight away spoke to him. I said, I'll just take a shortcut, the journey is short, so let's come to the point. I said, that please tell me that how many times have we done ziyarah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And he looked at me, then he smiled and his mouth opened. He said, what sort of question is this? How did this come into your mind? Why did you ask me this? I said, that's afterwards, but first you tell me that have you done ziyarah? Tell me a ziyarah that you've done. How many have you done? Tell me. Ziyarah. How many times have you seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And he said that I'm a student of ilm, knowledge. I'm studying. And it's my last phase year of Bukhari. I said, ooh, looks like you are really studying. It looks like it's not you're studying, but you are definitely studying Bukhari. I said, physically it's apparent. He said that, then I remembered about the Kailula, but that was explained, the afternoon nap. So he said, I'll tell you one event. I said, one is enough, inshallah. Just tell me one example. He said that my habit was and is also now that the Holy Prophet ﷺ sunnahs I practice, and we should do that. And Allah gives me the tawfiq, ability, I'm regular on this, punctual. And he said this was also a habit that in the afternoon I would have an afternoon nap. Even if it's 5 minutes, I lie down. But I definitely would go and do qailula, afternoon nap. I'd go to my room, I'd lie down, and then I'd come back to the madrasa. We used to study there in the Masjid Nabawi. So he said that that day I was very tired, and my situation was quite exhausted and tired, and in a rush I came back. I didn't even eat anything, and I just lay down for qailula. Afternoon, but in the rush, I ignored a sunnah, because if a person he discards a sunnah, then he attains success because ziyarah comes to them, because the Prophet rewards them that why did you do this, or why did you leave this. So the meaning of saying this is that do dua, it's Ramadan time, every dua is accepted. May Allah Ta'ala also make us a beloved, that no destination is far. A person needs to promise to himself that as close as it is, you know, the destination of love of Allah and His Rasul Salam, nothing is closer than that. There's no journey, no destination and point closer than the love of Allah and His Rasul Salam. Today we're in Ramadan. If we put ourselves into this practice, then Allah and His Rasul Salam's beloveds will become immediately. It doesn't take long. Doesn't take long. There's not every woman, every man, alhamdulillah, within a second can become the mahbub, the beloved of Allah. So take out hypocrisy, nifaq, and become pure. That's it. That's it. So he said that I lay down, but instead of on the right side, I lay down on the left side. Happens sometimes with human being, a mistake is made, or overlooked something, he was tired. It's not a big thing for us, is it? It's a minor. That's not a big deal. We do bigger issues. We have bigger issues than this, and we go beyond that. But look at the quote of the Holy Prophet, that every single sunnah of his, how beloved it is. And you will imagine that from this example. Should we leave the sunnah? Tell me. So wherever, try your best. Try your best as much as physically possible, as long as you are conscious that I'll do every action according to the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every action. Any action that you're doing, if you will do according to the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's such a massive reward that immediately Allah and His Rasul will make you their beloved. Close to them. There's no other action that you'll get so much thawab for immediately. There's no other action. It's not a tax, it's not a burden, a punishment on us. This is the path of love that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. This is not a punishment that Allah has given. Yes, so don't do it if you don't want to. Allah says, don't do it. But if you come tomorrow, then you realize in the hereafter. Yes, so he said, as soon as instead of the right side, I lay down on my left side. And then he said, I was still sort of drowsy, not fully asleep, half asleep. And he said, from the door, I saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. And he looked at me, he said, and he said to me, he said my name. And he said that you have discarded my sunnah, you have neglected my sunnah. And after that, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left. He departed, disappeared. He said, oh, suddenly I got up, I read the Durood Sharif. And I was crying and my body was shaking. Let me go and please, I need to make up for this. He said, but he had gone. He said, I felt like I'd just run and fall at his feet, but he had gone. So this was one example event. He told me that one practice of the sunnah. So my brothers, everything in your life, the insan, the individual, if he brings his life into accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet, then he's a complete human being. He's made it, that person. So I was requesting and saying, that what was our subject? What were we discussing? Have you forgotten as well? What were we talking about? We were talking about love, the love of Allah. Allah's qurb, Allah's nearness. That Allah is not far from His servant. We are far from Allah. And I was saying this to you, that when a person is there in the hereafter, he'll be grateful to Allah. When he sees the scenes of hell and people going to Allah, he'll say, Allah, you have saved me. How? That when you used to call out in the morning, the last part of the night, then at that time I didn't waste that time, Allah. You used to call out, and I used to do istighfar, ask you for forgiveness. I used to do tawbah at that time. So you're so graceful, Allah, you're so merciful that if you hadn't called out to me today, I also would have been going into hell. So he heard Allah's call and announcement. So these things that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, what are these? This is where Allah Ta'ala has given us chances to drag us towards Him. Allah is pushing us and pulling us and bringing us close to Him. Yes, Allah says, I push you. You know, like someone's pushed along and shoved along. Allah is shoving us along, pushing us along, pulling us along. So consider that Ramadan is a push for us. It's pushing us. Otherwise, when would we pray Salah? When would we pray food and do 40 prostrations during the 20 rakats? When would after Asr we do dhikr of Allah? When would we do this? Yes, that not all year, every day Asr Salah is there. When would we sit after Asr and do dhikr of Allah? When would we sit and remember Allah at this time? Yeah? When would we do talawat, recitation of the Quran and complete many Qurans? When would we get up in the morning according to Allah's order and stop eating and drinking after that? So this is Allah pushing us, Allah is pushing us along and encouraging us to do the work. Allah is pushing us along, dragging us along. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala, when He sends Ramadan, at that time there is a feeling Ramadan, that Ramadan affects the heart of the individual. It softens the heart of a person. It makes it tender. Even the hardest of hearts become soft. That's the first action of rahmah, isn't it? Remember, rahmah was first. So when they're pushed and they're shoved, then Allah says, they don't even know that automatically they come into motion, that how much thawab they'll get for that amal. And they start to get thawab, reward with that action. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is Ramadan, gives us a push. Whoever comes into this push, then inshallah he'll get the push towards Jannah, paradise. Yes, you'll get pushed towards paradise, shoved towards paradise, pulled along towards paradise. So whatever action Allah Ta'ala gives to us in this month of Ramadan, do all of them. Do all of them. And we'll see afterwards what happens. Afterwards we'll see that whatever you think you're going to do after, but in this Ramadan, that just do those actions in this month. Even if it's just temporary. Just do them. Why? Because the point here is that it's hard to leave. That, for example, say, I'll leave it to Ramadan, I'll do this during Ramadan, and let's see afterwards what continues. Just make that. Yes? For example, I don't do parda the rest of the year, but at least I'll do it in Ramadan. Maybe then afterwards I'll take it off, but at least give satisfaction to your nafs as well. Yeah, make your nafs feel happy. Make your desires feel happy. They're okay. Okay, it's only a few days, 10, 15 days left of Ramadan. I'll put the hijab on now. At least I'll get Ramadan. At least I'll get Ramadan. At least I'll get into that group that's pulled along to Allah. At least I'll get paradise. So with this, in this Ramadan, due to this reason, don't stop from any action. The rest of the year I'll have to do this, I'll have to keep on doing this. No. Just say that for Ramadan, due to Ramadan, I'm doing this action. Yes, you know the mutah people do. Mutah. You're doing mutah like of the sin. It's like a sin, isn't it? Where people say, oh, just for a few days, let's do nikah. And that I'll bring this woman into my nikah, then I'll leave her after. That's called mutah, isn't it? Mutah. Just temporary. So, just do this much then in Ramadan. Temporary agreement. That okay, I'll just practice whilst it's Ramadan, during Ramadan, after Ramadan, we'll see what happens with it. Yes, because at least then you'll enter into that group that the thing that I gave to my servant, he valued it at that time. Allah Ta'ala says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَلَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. That at least that this person, even just for 10 days, he valued me, Allah says, appreciated me. After that, Allah says, I promise, وَلَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. That it's not in your control, but I will let you continue to practice this afterwards. Allah says, I'll enable you. I'll increase it, expand it. So whoever's done, one needs to do tawbah, wants to do tawbah, repent. Okay, at least do it during Ramadan, say subhanallah. At least do it during Ramadan, for the sake of Ramadan, I'll do tawbah, hazrat, I'll repent. I don't know after that if I can sustain that, can I carry on practicing? Okay, no problem. At least make a start now. No problem. No problem. At least you valued and appreciated this Ramadan that we're in now and you did honest true tawbah during that time. So the action that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, that amal, that action that Allah has given to us, do it during Ramadan. Okay, Ramadan, there aren't all the actions aren't present in Ramadan. Yes, that Allah Ta'ala, for example, has He told us that do all the actions of Ramadan? Is there anything that Allah Ta'ala has not made us practice in this month? Every action is being practiced in Ramadan. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala is pulling us towards Him. He's forcing us towards Him. And every good deed takes a person to Allah. Allah says, maybe due to any good deed, this person will come close to me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes? So where does a good deed take a person? Towards Allah. And where does a sin take a person? Towards hell. So that Ramadan is full. Allah's filled it with good and righteous deeds and pious deeds and actions and opportunities. Why? Because Allah is bringing His servant towards Him. Many opportunities that these people move. For example, you love somebody. You have extreme love for somebody. You give everything for that love for that person. And you want to bring that person close to you. Obviously, if you have love. So to bring that person close to you, you will give something. You make some excuses. You make up some scenario that I want to get close to this person. Yes? Sometimes you speak to this person, speak to that person. I remember a poem. Some verses that sometimes walking past his alley or his street, because you are the beloved of the person, that maybe they will look at me, he will look at me from the window right now, glance at me, so just out of excuse, that person's walking past. Yes, the shortcut is the other way, but he's going the long way, because this is the street of my Mahbub, beloved, maybe there will be a sight of visibility. Then he gives a satisfaction to his heart. Okay, at least my Mahbub didn't look at me. At least I'll see the house of my beloved, isn't it? At least I'll see the house. I'll tell you the truth. These are words of love. Ask a person who has love for somebody. So the Mahbub, the beloved, whoever, where the house he lives, he likes the house, he likes the car that the Mahbub is driving, the route that the Mahbub takes, he likes that route, those streets. Rather, those streets and alleys become beloved for that person as well, who has love for that person. So love is a great thing, my friends. Yes, at least once experience some love in your life. And then, you know, you see like in films, oh, I love you, and they are singing, and you have these film stars, and you have the man and the woman, and they have love for each other. She's sat on the boat, and he's running after that. This is he, Ranja, all these stories. These are all temporary love's examples, not real love. This is temporary, fake. Yes, it's just love or attraction that will finish for a reason. But this is an example, is when the real love. What will be the real love? Imagine the real state of love of a person. And that my heart felt once that, let me ask Hazrat Sahab, that always you go to Makkah and you stay there. Whenever you get an opportunity, you come and sit in Makkah and you don't leave from there. I felt like asking Hazrat Sahab, and the answer came automatically in my heart. That you are looking at Makkah, you're looking at the Kaaba, you're looking at the Kaaba, a normal person, but I'm looking and contemplating the owner of the Kaaba. We're looking at Rukn al-Yamani. But he hasn't come for this. He's come for Allah who is there, the Creator, whose tajalli magnificence is there. Otherwise, who in the old age, after such a long journey, a daif insan, buzurg, elderly? SubhanAllah, for us, this age is enough. That, for example, we look at the building, we look at the Kaaba, we look at the cloth around the Kaaba. But the person who has no money, no taka, they're in a bad state, their health, and they get there. And when they sit there and they see Allah's house, then their sight and visibility is something else. They've already got love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have muhabbat and love for their Lord. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is pulling his servant in. Allah has given us so many actions to do because Allah wants to drag us and pull us close to Him. This is how much Allah loves the insan, the human being. Yes? So Allah Ta'ala, He's given us excuses and give us gifts and treasures and I'll make my Lord happy this way and this way. The objective is that my beloved, He pays attention to me and draws near to me. Subhanallah. That He is paying attention to me. Yes, I speak about my own feeling and emotion that I'd present hadiyah, gift to Hazrat Sahib, a sweater or a jumper. When I'd give something like this, it would be love and affection Hazrat Sahib used to accept. Yes, otherwise he had no need. So I then had a desire, and he understood also this desire of the Mahbub. Once I went from here and the climate had changed, so I bought a sweater, a cardigan, a jumper for Hazrat Sahib, that I'll give this to Hazrat Sahib. So I was going to go in the winter, but after January, the weather changes. From February, March, the heat starts to come there. I said, Subhanallah. So it was March, and in Karachi, I stayed too long. So when I arrived there, then the climate had changed, and people had taken their sweaters and jumpers off, and Hazrat Sahib had to sit in the masjid for quite a long time. There was heat there as well. The sun was out, so obviously they had their sheet. And I'm talking to you words of muhabbat, love. So this is the love that we're speaking about. Example. So how a person has love. And this is the love of Allah. This is the love for the sake of Allah. So I said, I'll give this. That you have to give. You have to find the chance to give it. And the desire was this. The desire of the ashik is that when I give a gift, then he also wears it in front of me. Subhanallah. So I'm just telling you the words of my heart, what's in my heart. And I don't know if you have love for somebody or not, but I had love. So I'm sharing that with you. May Allah give you love as well for somebody. So in that love, this is what happens. When you have love for the sake of Allah, then these things happen, experiences. Why? Because I wanted to see how does it look on him. My Hazrat Sahib, how will he look when he wears this jumper, sweater? The other thing, if he wears it, that means then he's liked it. He's liked it. So I don't want his heart to feel bad. And I used to cry and feel. So khair, I was a little bit afraid, and I presented the first point was this, that Hazrat Sahib will accept my gift, even that's an honor for me. Hazrat Sahib said, it's a bit warm, what have you brought here? What is this? Nothing. They give it this, you could have said that, they give to this person or give this to that person. Or if there's other fakir, give to that person. Hazrat Sahib could do that, distribute, and we had full understanding that Hazrat Sahib could do that. So I presented the gift, and Hazrat Sahib didn't say anything. And that was it. The next day, then heat was there already, it was hot. And Hazrat Sahib, when he came, then he was wearing that sweater, that jumper. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. He had worn that jumper, that sweater. What was that? Hazrat Sahib didn't need to wear that. So what was this? That when he said that if somebody loves me, I will love him as well. So the servant is saying this. So Allah, how much he loves the servant, how much does Allah love his servant who loves him as well? Imagine this. I'm talking about that person. This is the person, the sheikh, who takes you to Allah. And the real source, the Kaaba, Allah's home, that is taking us to Allah's love. So if, for example, you love that, then imagine its status of how it will love you. Imagine how Allah will love you. So Hazrat Sahib wore the jumper, I understood. The Hazrat Sahib is doing this for my happiness. And he was answering love with the love. And he sat with the jumper on in the heat and is sweating, but he didn't take the sweater off. Yes, some fakirs would come, Hazrat Sahib, take this off, take the sweater off, the jumper is hot, is heat. They say, oh, Hazrat, the khadim, the special khadim, the Hazrat, you can take this off, I'll put it to the side, your sweater has got hot now. Hazrat Sahib said, take it, so Babu, it's fine. He didn't let him take it off. Subhanallah, he just kept sitting there all afternoon till the evening with that sweater, with that jumper. So, this is muhabbat, this is love. So you know when a person needs to be pulled and dragged. So Allah gave an excuse, you could say. An excuse to pull us near to Him. What we'll call this? A wasila, a means, a resource. Yeah, a source or a means or an excuse to please the Mahbub. Yes, that I give this and if he's happy, then I'm also happy in my heart. So where does this come from? This came from where? Yes, so Allah says that, let's see how much you love me. Who? Imam al-Anbiya is asking Abu Bakr Siddiq. And look at the answer he gave, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I want it that is my eyesight and I see your blessed face. I want it that is my daughter and that she is wed in your nikah. Not that, oh, she's young or big, doesn't matter how old she is in your nikah. And I want that is my wealth and I spend it on you. Subhanallah, he had that this desire. This was his love. What a great basis of love he taught us. So on this basis he became Siddiq, and he used to pray Salah and everything he did, like we did worship, as Ali used to do sajda, Umar used to do sajda. But the action that Siddiq did and his status, nobody could equate. Who gave this to him? Which action allowed him to attain this? We don't understand until now. What was that? It was the love. So just generate this inside you. Just develop this. We're dirty, impure, sinful. But at least take the hand with the love, isn't it? Take the assistance with love, with affection, muhabbat. Yeah, what can I do? Sure, we can't leave the sins. What should we do? I try, but it's too hard for me to leave the sins. Difficult. But you know, when you come, then oh, my heart, Hazrat, when I see you, this allows me to. So if you have this feeling, then this is enough. This is the greatest achievement. So love is a great factor of life, and there's also a name for this month, isn't it? In Arabic, there's a name. This is the month of Allah's qurb, Allah's nearness, closeness. In this month, look for Allah's love, because Allah Ta'ala created this month to attain Allah's love. Allah didn't give this month for ibadah, for worship, just keep on rubbing your foreheads. Allah says, no, demonstrate your love to me, because Allah says, I love you, my servant. Allah says, I've given you, for example, I gave the sweater, then at least you show your, that you're wearing the sweater. What's the sweater Allah's given? Allah says, I gave you iman, at least show your iman to me. Subhanallah. Just like I gave the jumper, what has Allah Ta'ala given to us? Allah's given us iman. Allah says, at least implement that iman. At least implement that iman. That sometimes you go into sajda, you're doing this action, you wake up, and the biggest point to know is an amal, I'll tell you, of Ramadan, an action of Ramadan. The biggest amal, I'll tell you right now. Biggest action. This fakir's words, that they may sound a bit strange, but keep listening. Do you understand? Like Hawaii, they come from the air around us, you could say. They just come out of nowhere. But listen and pay attention and practice. This is the biggest action. This is the month of love. And this is the title of this month. The title of this month, Allah Ta'ala for His qurb has given us this month, for His nearness. Yes, I'll give you the example of the sweater, where I gave the sweater and the exchange of love. That is, Allah says, I love you, you also show that you have love for me. Because just like when you are happy, I want to be happy as well when I see you, Allah says. Say Subhanallah. So you are true, Darvesh, mashallah, you hear the stories of love and affection. When I speak about other things, there's silence. Yes, but at least you understand these examples. So what is it? Amal, the great amal that Allah has given in this month is the action of love, to demonstrate love. Very fantastic amal of love. This is one action is such that the human being, when he practices that deed, normal circumstances, then normal circumstances, when a person does this action, in normal circumstances, then how many rewards come out at that time? Allahu Akbar. So how many doors open up for that person? This is the hadith I've just read to you. That one action, on one action, three doors Allah Ta'ala opens up as a result for the action that you did. Allah says, go and enjoy yourself now. Three doors. Obviously they open the doors, and that's why this hadith is mentioned. So that action, the ruh, is the soul of Ramadan. This specific action that we're discussing is the soul of Ramadan. If he hasn't done this amal, he's done nothing then in this month. On this amal, in normal days, three doors Allah opens up. In normal days, away from Ramadan. Rahma, Allah says, Abu'aba Rahma, and the door of Jannah, and the door of Ajabat, Allah says. In normal days. So what is this action? Dua, prayer. Dua, supplication. Dua. Do you understand what I'm saying? So on top of this, this dua of Ramadan, to do dua in Ramadan, why? Because this amal, this action, is a sign of being the beloved. This is a sign of iman, faith. This is the sign of yaqeen, having faith and certainty. Here, if there's nobody in the room and you're sat on your own, for example, and there's nobody in the room and you're speaking, oh, you are this, I don't understand you, why don't you listen to me? And somebody, your wife's behind, she says, oh, he's gone mad. He's gone mad. Why? Because he's talking to himself in the room. There's nobody in there. He's gone mad. You people say this, isn't it? He's gone mad. He's gone crazy. There's nobody there. Who's he talking to? Yes, there's nothing there, and he's speaking to people, speaking to somebody, saying something. So, he who you're asking from, can you see him? Can you feel him? Are you aware he's there? Where is he? Who you're asking from? He's nowhere there to be seen. But your iman says that Allah is present everywhere. Allah is present everywhere. Iman tells us this, it attests. So the person who's asking the dua, he says, I'm asking, I'm requesting. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what a great proof of iman, that individual who's got his hands raised, he can't see anything, he's not feeling anything. Who is he asking from? From his Rabb, from his Lord, his Creator. Subhanallah. So is this not the sign of being the beloved? Yes, that a person is crazy and mad in the love of Allah. He cannot see. Who's he asking from? From there, who's he asking from? Oh my Rabb, give me this. Allah says, this is what I like most of all. This is the sign of iman, Allah says. This is your yaqeen. So people, that only you will ask from those people you can see. For example, if you make somebody a god or an idol, we make an object a god. Yes, whatever around you, whatever people see, they make them gods. But the person who has iman, he believes in Allah who he can't see. He believes in him as Allah who he can't see. So why should we believe in those things that we can see ourselves with our eyes? Yes, because without seeing Allah, he's closer to us. He's closer to us. So now you'll enjoy when you do dua after today. You'll enjoy more. Yes. So this is love. This is love. That's why Allah Ta'ala says that when my servant does dua, Allah says that when my servant makes a prayer, أَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah says, you become so close to me after raising your hands, the question doesn't arise now that you ask and I won't give to you, Allah says. The question doesn't arise. That all of your conditions accepted your, yes, you are sinful, you are disobedient, doesn't matter, but you've raised your hands and proved, and you've made me happy, Allah says. Yes, you've proven your iman during Ramadan. You've proven this, that your iman is there, is existent, and the gift that I gave to you, that you have worn that gift that I gave to you. You've worn it, and I'm now watching, Allah Ta'ala says, I'm watching you. Yes, so pick up as much as you can. Just do this action during Ramadan. Don't do any other action. You don't need to do any other action. So we don't do dua. We don't supplicate to Allah. We are very stingy. We are misers. And the root of all our distress and our problems and difficulties is that we don't make dua. We don't supplicate. Allah says, I'm so unhappy with that individual who doesn't do dua to me. Why? I'm so unhappy because he doesn't have yaqeen and faith in me, Allah says. He's lying. If he believed in me, Allah says, then why doesn't he come to me? Why doesn't he ask from me? Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Why doesn't he come to me and ask me? You were sick, your wife was sick, your children were sick. Why didn't you come to me? Allah asks. The person who had faith, he wouldn't listen to anyone. Straight, direct, they go towards Allah. Yes, Sahaba Ikram, noble companions, any problem that confronted them, any issue, they wouldn't do anything. Straight, direct, tuck, they would reach to Allah. They would go to Allah's court. They would not need to look left and right. They said that this, they had belief that Allah is present. Yes, you know, that for example, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is a hadith, that your distress, your sorrows, your worries, the reason for them is just one, that you have problems and difficulties and issues and you fall into them, and there's one reason for all of this, that you don't do dua to Allah, you don't supplicate to Allah. Those people who pray less and ask less from Allah, then they're stuck in their traps and their issues. This cannot be that a person makes dua to Allah and that he is fallen into difficulty. Question doesn't arise. The person who does dua continuously and he's disobedient. The person who makes dua to Allah and he doesn't pray salah. How can it be this person who does du'as and he is doing haram, he eats haram? No, it's those people who don't make du'a, and the sign of us not making du'a is that we don't accept Allah, we don't obey Allah. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. Isn't this in the Quran? Where Allah says, this that do du'a, I listen to you. Allah also says that those people, if you don't make du'a, if you don't supplicate, what does it do? That makes you Fir'aun. You are like Fir'aun now. You've got two parts, two extreme examples Allah has given here. So you understand what I'm saying? That Allah has given the rules for making dua, you my beloved, and if you don't do dua, then you are like Fir'aun. You skip it inside you, pride. And that's what happens when a person doesn't do dua. Takabbur, pride. You understand what I'm saying? You see, this is the caravan of love. This is the vehicle of love that I have introduced you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you, this is the month of love, this is the month of Allah's nearness, and you get qurb nearness to Allah, how? Through dua, supplication. Yes, because dua defines a person's yaqeen. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, for example, you are in distress for this reason, you've got difficulties for this reason, that's why you've got problems. Because you don't do dua to Allah, you don't supplicate, you don't ask. So do dua, ask from Allah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraging us to do that, subhanAllah. And Allah doesn't also like this, that for a second, for a moment, even for a second, even for a small, minute amount of time, that my servant is paying attention to me and he's going towards something else. A normal person, for example, he wasn't like, if his beloved, that she looks elsewhere, he'll get angry. If we look at the dunya basis, that if she praises someone else, he'll get angry. For example, if your wife praises someone else, you'll feel anger, dislike. Yeah, whoever you love, if that person praises someone else, you say, oh, they're very disrespectful, you'll have anger. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His haya is so great. He is the one with the most haya. Will He like that despite me being the creator, He's bowing and submitted to someone else? Allah says, even if your shoelace breaks, don't worry, ask me for that to be replaced. Ask me, Allah says, even if it's your shoelace. So why is this person paying attention to someone else and turning away from me and going somewhere? Allah doesn't like that His servant goes elsewhere. Say subhanAllah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So dua, we shouldn't leave making dua, my friends. Immediately the doors of mercy open up for that person. Immediately. So do lots of dua, tahajjud time, every ibadah, every action, the biggest ibadah, whether you've got time or not, whether you've prayed salah or not, whether you've got nothing you've done or not, just pay attention to Allah, even if your hands aren't raised. Do dua to Allah, ask from Allah. That the whole of the phases of salah is actually a form of dua. When you stood in ruku, in sujood prostration, do lots of dua. It's a complete dua. Phase of dua. And only in salah though you are permitted to do dua in Arabic. You can't do in any other language. In Arabic, make lots of du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Arabic, there are many du'as that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, du'a masura in the Quran. So here the question arises, that what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not ask? He asked for everything. Everything he asked for, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown to us, demonstrated to us, taught us. He's told us. So, there's a du'a with regards to afia. What else are you going to ask for after asking him from afia? In your sujood, ask Allah for afia. For well-being, yes, we just try to get up quickly from prostration and run away. The sajda of tahajjud, and it's time of Ramadan, and your forehead is on the ground, and from the tears from your eyes, you say, Allah, maghfirli, 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 Allah, rabbighfirli, rabbighfirli, will Allah not listen? You will say it, and Allah will continue to forgive you. Allah will continue to forgive you. So ask whatever you want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what's happened to you? You're not a people without assistance, like there's nobody to help you. You're not a people like that, the Rasulullah said. Ask from Allah. So the person who doesn't ask Allah, remember this, the person who doesn't ask from Allah, he is mutakabbir, he is proud, he is drowning in a disease, in a sickness, and he loses hope because shaitan says, you've got no God, no Lord, he's not going to give to you. Where does Allah give to you? Yes, we've asked many times before and he's never given to us. He makes him lose hope. No, shaitan says. So this is the test and the challenge we need to get through. Yes, your yaqeen, your belief should be that you've gone to somebody's house and you have to meet that person. Isn't it? I'm just giving you an example so you understand. Let's say he's a police officer, and he needs to go to a house, okay? And he presses the bell, the doorbell. Nobody comes. Then he'll press the doorbell again. Nobody comes. Then he'll press the doorbell again. Then nobody comes. Then they stay standing there because the order is that you need to go to this house and you need to make a search. He won't leave, will he? He won't leave them. What will he do? Then he'll break the door. And then he'll call out. But he'll definitely, he needs to go into the house because he has belief. And his spying and his information that he's gathered has told him that there's a person sat here and I need to arrest him. So the policeman will never leave that. I'll just give you a worldly example. His yaqeen is so strong, he will not leave him, his belief. So my friends, whoever's got yaqeen and belief, true yaqeen, not once, not twice that you're doing dua. Whoever's got yaqeen, that Allah is there, he's listening. Definitely Allah will give to me. Yes, he'll keep on knocking Allah's door, keep on pressing the bell, keep on knocking Allah's door, keep on pressing the bell. He'll do that. You understand what I'm saying? That, for example, the policeman says, he sat inside, I've got to grab him. Why should I leave here? We know that Allah is present. He is listening. He has said, I listen to you, I give to you. And we know, ask Allah when he's going to give. We're just going to keep on knocking on the door. Keep on knocking on Allah's door. That's it. Tuck. Allah give me this, Allah give me this, Allah give me this, Allah give me this. Keep saying it. Allah says, I like it very much. How? That there's a unique status and stage of love that is reached to. There are some people who are the favorites. Well, you know, a person has a lot of children, few sons, but there's also one child who is the favored by the mother. Like, for example, who is the parents, they have 12 children, full, mashallah, rahmah. Before this great family, is 5 or 10. 10 was common, number of children. They sat here, 10 brothers and sisters are there. It used to be a beautiful home, lots of children, rahmah and mercy. Today you got 2, just have 1 child, 2. Child, we've stopped having children. These are punishments on us. Allah says, forget it, I won't even give you children. End of story. Otherwise, the previous generation, how many children? You got 10. Oh, I'm grateful to Allah, I've got 12 now. Oh, 13, mashallah, well done. And oh, people at home, jalebis. Oh, mashallah, another child has come. Oh, does this one look like? Oh, she looks like him. Oh, he looks like you. The child looks like you. These were the discussions that took place. Did this not happen before? So children would come. Now what have we done? We started this section and stopped this and this treatment, sterilization. And Allah says, stop, then no children. So this is the era of istighfar. This is the punishment for our sins that we are going through at the moment. Say subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So, we know that Allah is there. Allah is present. Allah is aware. So why should we step back? But we lose hope. We give up. We are mutakabir. We don't have belief in Allah. Allah is present and He's aware of us. Oh no, I did lots of du'as. It hasn't happened. 10 years I've been asking. 10 years is nothing. Why are you complaining? 10 years you've been asking du'as. 16 years, after 16 years I saw a person get a child. After 16 years. He's present here. Yeah, there are people here. After 10 years, I've seen common. After 12 years, oh yes, have you got a child here? Yes, I've got a child. Child's been born in a family. MashaAllah. Because they never opened the door. They never left Allah's door. What do we do? Oh, then how many days? Do I do this wazifa? Just quickly, I want this solution to come. How many days shall I do this wazifa? Give me a wazifa that just within days, if you give something to read to that person, how many days shall I recite this? They'll ask this first, so that when we'll have to leave this? You're asking for such big things, and you're asking how many days to recite? Wazifa is unlimited. As long as you can, keep on reading, keep on reciting. SubhanAllah. I said that for Shadi, Surah Yaseen, and he stopped reading. This is, I haven't got a wife. Just keep on reading Surah Yaseen and you will get a wife. You'll get married. Keep on reading Surah Yaseen. Yes. So he said, okay, I'll do amal on this so I can get married. Yeah, people leave it. They leave the wazifa. So total, complete, tariqah, you're asking me if you want to get married, how shall we do it if we read Yaseen and you get married? But keep on reading Surah Yaseen. Even if you become old. Why? Because not here, then you'll get your wedding and marriage in Jannah, isn't it? And then, mashallah, your hoors are being made in Jannah, paradise for you. So wazifa, it doesn't run with the time, my brothers. Wazifa prayer is based on your yaqeen, your certainty. The more yaqeen is solid, you might get it immediately. And if it's a weak yaqeen and certainty, then you have to keep on knocking on the door. Ah, I said some parents have their favorites, you know, from the children. How? The mother who loves more than she doesn't give the matai. I want him to come and hug me, come to me and cry. She likes that. The mother, oh, he's not there, I'll give. Then he comes again, he cries. Then he's bumping into mother and hugging her, and she's embracing him. This is a game the mother's doing. The mother's giving love to the child. I've seen such mothers like this. And I said, subhanAllah, why you keep looking? And I said, no, I like that the example. Let the child come again. Come the child again, I'll give afterwards. And those, you take your share and go. And they run away. But the spoiled one, the one who's the favorite, the mother pesters him, keep on coming, keep on. So this is the case. Those who are beloved to Allah, Allah says, keep coming back to me. I enjoy that. I like that. Allah says, I'm going to give to you. If I give to you, suddenly you'll run away. Then you're not going to come back to me. Allah says, you're not going to come back to me. So if I give you health, then you've gone. You're a goner. Yeah, if I improve your circumstances, you're gone. I know it's written, your situation. But I love you so much that I've controlled you and kept you near to me, Allah says. That you keep on asking me, I listen to you. But everything I'll give to you, I'll give to you so much I'll give to you, that when you return to me, come back to me, then your mouth will drop open. That where's all of this come from? Allah says, I'll reply that this is all of that you asked from me. This is all that. What else do we need? What is doing? Just once, if the servant raises his hands, then Allah's machine starts to move. The angels start, Jannah starts, mansions start to be constructed. Allah knows that I'm not going to give to him now. So the preparation in the hereafter starts. That he's not going to get it here, but he'll get it in the hereafter. SubhanAllah. We say, no, my dua is not accepted. I say, when you go to the hereafter, Allah, all my duas, these are the rules. If only some of my duas were not accepted. Because that was just restricted to there. The dunya would have loved it if I got everything in the hereafter, whether you get it or not, whether you get your friend or not. But don't stop talking to him. My Hazrat Sahib said this, whether you find your friend or not, but keep on looking for him, keep on looking for him. My Hazrat Sahib said this. So this month is the month of what? The month of love. So just a few words about love. We did, may Allah Ta'ala instill love into our hearts. Yes, little bit. Yes. Have love and give love. And Allah's taught us love. Do those actions that attract and the love of Allah. The actions of Allah's love. Hey, I'm seeing happy that Allah Ta'ala will be shawlah our iman. I will be happy that my servant, mashallah, he embraced that gift that I gave to him. So when, how much time is left now to break in the fast? Who's going to tell me the time today? 42? Mashallah, okay. Let's do some dhikr of Allah. Recite the Rushdie.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وزنوبنا حصرنا وجدنا خطأنا وعملنا وولد الصالحين اللهم نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذنا منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة يا رب اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين امين.